back, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
Welcome to the What's the Temp podcast. My name is Bettina, and I am coming in hot.
I am Jen, and I need to check in so I don't check out.
Checking in. Well, today's episode
is checking in.
Today's episode is called Technology Tensions. And I don't know that I'm so excited about this one, but let's do it anyway.
Let's do it.
Jen, what is your digital wellness temperature?
Okay, so outdoor temp, 65. That's my digital wellness temp.
Okay, explain.
The reason why is because there are two conflicting weather systems. You know how when it's about to thunderstorm and there's a cold front coming in and so everything is sort of clashing, but the temperature drops? That type of day, that type of moment, that's where my digital temp is, because I feel that there are two conflicting belief systems which are always at play, which is my belief system that I should never be accountable in any way to my phone. There's two, actually, it's a double conflict. One is the conflict between me and society, which is that I don't feel like I should have to answer my phone ever. And I feel that, in fact, I should just be able to leave it in the car. I haven't gotten to that point yet. But sometimes, for example, this weekend, my phone was just in my bag and people were trying to reach me, but my phone's on vibrate and in my bag. So I can't tell that it's ringing. But also, I can't bring myself to look at it, because if I do look at it, it's going to take me out of this really beautiful moment that I'm in. I was in Melbourne at this thing called the Fairy Trail, and I was with my friend and her daughter, and the little girls were running around and finding fairy houses, and then we went walking down into center town, and I just wanted to keep my eyes open to discovery. And so I couldn't check my phone, because then you know how it is when you check your phone, then you just completely, at least for me, I completely forget where am I, what am I doing, and just it takes me out of it. And then the second conflict is the conflict between me, myself, and I, which is that it still feels very weird for me to go places without my phone. So the other day I was getting into the car to take the kids to daycare. This is actually yesterday. And I realized I didn't have my phone. And I was like, okay, that's fine. You don't have to have your phone. But then the whole time I was driving, it's only 5 minutes away, I was like, well, where's my music? Well, where's my this?
Oh, yeah.
Well, why is it saying not connected? Like, it just felt weird because of the conditioning of always having, it feels like my phone is a part of the car. And then the other piece of that is, even though I like to leave my phone away for long periods of time, I'm extremely wedded to my phone as part of my nighttime ritual. So I listen to podcasts or audio as I'm falling asleep, because that feels really comforting to me. It's just one of the ways I comfort myself. I put myself, my routine again, I'm back to the heating pad. You know, I love a heating pad. And the weather is changing, so I put my little heating pad on, just on one, because I'm a very hot sleeper. And then I just get down in there and I put my little headphone in and I put myself on a nice little something. So this past couple nights, I've been doing the Bhagavad Gita randomly, because when we did another Raksha Bandhan this weekend, that Indian bracelet ceremony.
Yes.
And Herschel's cousins were telling me about their relationship with the Bhagavad Gita. And I had always had a really warm feelings about it, but have never really delved very deep into it. And one of them was telling me that they read their son, who's 2 months old, they read him. It's another biracial couple, like me and Herschel, white person and Indian person. And they read their son, their new baby, a chapter from the Gita, they call it, every single night. And wow. The husband was just telling me that he feels that there's something about the syllables. And he says he's a cynic, but it's almost like he's hinting at something spiritual. He says there's something that's happening in between the syllables and the silence and the rhythms. And there's something that's happening to him when he's reading it to his little 2-month-old son. And so I decided to introduce that into my life. So I've just been listening to the audio book of the Bhagavad Gita in English past couple of nights. And so there's certain parts of technology that I feel improve my life. So that's where I'm at. 65. There's conflicting weather systems here. What about you?
I agree. It actually lines up with mine. My temp is low. My streak is officially broken.
Ooh.
But my temp
change
is
good.
Low.
Change is good.
It is. My temp is low because I'm just not a fan of technology while I know I need it. So I'm in this dichotomy between artificial intelligence and infinite intelligence, which I feel God is. God is infinite intelligence, right? So there's this
never
place in between where I'm standing. So prime example. So this guy that I study the Bible with is an old man. He's a very old man, older white man, Pastor Paul, from YouTube. He's amazing. He's just brilliant, right? And so my daughter introduced me to him a couple of years ago, or to his page or channel, a couple of years ago. So I've been studying with him since the book of Joshua, which is like the sixth book in the Bible. And I went all the way through the end of the Old Testament with him, which I just finished Malachi. So I was super excited to start back at the beginning with him in Genesis because I didn't do the first five books with him. So in Genesis, I guess because of the depth of his teaching in this time that I've been studying with him, to go back and do Genesis again, I started having revelations like from the beginning. It's like I had such an open heart and an open mind when I started this study, and I was so excited to do it with him that I started having revelations. So I'm like, is it me or am I seeing what I'm seeing, right? So I went to AI. I used Claude. I went to AI, and I'm like, why is it that in chapter one, did God bless the fowl of the air and then the sea creatures, but did not bless the cattle on the earth? And then so Claude gave me these different like ancient, the Eastern think this and the West think this. And, you know, you can basically give me all these different summations of what it could mean, right? And
that's cool.
So, but none of it lined up with what I was seeing. And I said, well, this is what I see. And I told Claude, I said, well, what I see is he was blessing the fowl in the air because there are also negative spiritual entities in action in the air, and the animals that he built or created to operate in that space needed to be blessed. And the same thing with the sea. And the reason he didn't have to bless the cattle was because the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And then Claude was like, oh my gosh, that's genius. And let me tell you why, right? And whoa. Then went on to explain to me, well, you're pulling on a thread that runs throughout the Bible, and then went on telling me why I could be right. And so I think there's just this place that I'm in where, you know, because I'm of the older generation, parts of me wants to run away from technology and just live this analog life, you know. But a part of me really understands that while my people are too busy to have that conversation with me in real time, right? And it was really profound that I was having the revelation, but it's not like I could pick up the phone and call somebody and say, this is what I'm seeing, and what do you think? And I have those kinds of people, but they're busy. So Claude was sufficient. Make sense? And so my thing is low because I love to use Claude to enhance what I'm seeing, what I'm learning, who I am. But I feel like I feel like many people use it to replace. Like when people say they're writing books using AI and all this and that, I feel like that's taking over. That's taking away from the brilliance that is you. I remember when I was writing my four books, and I remembered I created an outline using AI. And as I was filling in all those pages, I was like, this doesn't feel authentic. Remember when I changed direction on that one book, Jen?
Yes.
And I was like, even though I used AI for the outline. And even though I'm filling in the information, it doesn't feel authentically me. And I don't want to write like
that. Yeah. You felt like it wasn't coming from a place of inner knowing.
Yes. And I didn't want that. I don't want to put out material like that. Yet people do it every day. So I don't know. I'm in this weird space with it. It's sad that Claude was all I had to have that conversation in the beginning when, you know, with that Genesis revelation. But at the same time, it was a blessing because when I asked Claude, why did God do this and why did God do that? Claude did not have the answer. Right. Yes. So I felt like that the what I saw came from infinite intelligence. That did not come from AI. That didn't even come from my ability, my natural seeing. You know, it's just like I picked up on a thread that I just happened to see. And I feel like heaven shined a light on that. In that moment, you know, that's the only way I know how to describe it. So my thing is low because I'm learning how to walk this walk. And you know what it feels like? Remember back in the day, the Billie Jean music video where it was like Michael Jackson was like stepping on these sidewalks. I think it was the Billie Jean where he was stepping on the sidewalk and the tiles were lighting up. You know, that's what I feel like this is for me. Like I take a step out there and the tile lights up. But what I want to always make sure what side of the line I always want to be on is where it's my inner knowing. I don't want to use AI or any apps or any kind of technology to replace the best parts of me. I want to use anything that I use to enhance who I am, enhance what I know, enhance what I put out in the world, and then also be cognizant of the need for analog time when it's time to step away.
Yeah, yeah. Love that. Analog time.
Let's get into the backstory, which is how do we maintain authentic connection in the digital age? And I think you do a great job at this, so I want to let you go first.
Like I said, I try to place a high priority on interacting with people in person. I was actually reflecting this morning because we just 2 weeks ago did an episode about social media and comparison. And I was in this yoga class, that really intense yoga class today. And I was just looking around and thinking, no joke, 80% of these people have the bodies of Olympic gymnasts.
Wow. Like,
that is the only way I can describe it. You just cannot take your eyes off. It's like they're just an Adonis.
0% body fat.
Crazy. Like. I'm watching them do planks, and their stomachs are not hanging off their bodies. They're just completely just rock hard abs. And these are women who are older than me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even need social media. I'm looking at these people in real life and they look airbrushed. They are, I think that they're spending, I don't know how much time they're devoting to this. But I was just thinking about how I'm having this experience that I could be having digitally. And it's not a pleasant experience because what I've been experiencing lately is my own body's really changing. And I've been talking about this with a few of my friends is, you know, I've always had kind of an effortless attitude towards eating and body stuff, as I shared in that one episode, Body Stories. But my body is definitively changing now at this age. So there's this new, and I was just talking about this with my sister-in-law actually this weekend, there's this new shape that's emerging out of my stomach that I recognize from seeing it on old women. And it's now showing up.
So funny.
And it lives here at all times. And so I'm like, oh, this is the shape I'm becoming now. And I am the same weight that I have always been, but my body is changing. So I'm going through that. And then meanwhile, I feel almost as if I'm in this social media realm, but at least the only consolation I have, because that's not a very pleasant experience. But the only consolation I have is that this is happening in real life on the ground. I don't need my phone for it because I'm living it, man. So I'm kind of consoling myself because I'm like, okay, I mean, it's not like just because you ditch technology, everything is amazing. Mm-hmm. But so that's just an experience I had this morning because I was reflecting. We had decided right before we went to that class. So I was just reflecting on technology and how it just is better to be living in the real world, even if it's not pleasant all the time, than to be escaping. There's this question they would always talk about in philosophy where would it be better to live a life that has suffering or would it be better to be pod people who are experiencing nothing but joy all the time? And most people would say they'd rather have the authentic life even if it was involving suffering.
Absolutely.
And then trying to figure out, well, why? If you didn't know the difference, then why? But there's something that is very compelling about authenticity. And so the other example that I can think of is, it's funny because right before we got on this call, I said, let's not talk about social media. But then yes. My two examples are both social media.
It's okay. So
but it just was what's playing on my mind right now. So I was thinking about how we said we were going to post something to social media about the miscarriage episode. And I did. And I mm-hmm. did. And no, like I thought, not very many people. I think there was 9 people who interacted with it. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that the quality of those 9 was sky high.
So good.
So I had, yeah, so for me, I think that the quality is so important. It's not really about quantity. So whereas digital is sort of more about quantity to me, it's about how many likes, but those likes are hollow and they don't weigh anything. Mm-hmm. They all together might weigh something, but individually they don't weigh anything. And for me, it's actually the inverse. So 9 people out of my 400 and something friends interacted with this post, but of those people, one person in particular reached out to me. And this is a person who I worshipped her in high school. I thought she was the coolest, most unique person. Her mother is a jazz singer. Her house was like this living library. She was just really cool. She was just this cool as a cucumber, and she just marched to the beat of her own drummer. And I was really obsessed with her in high school, just from afar. And she reached out to me and said that our podcast has become a weekly treat for her. That made my week.
Yeah.
And then it's been just like that with this. So the people who I know are listeners, to me, individually have the same weight as 1,000 likes on
absolutely.
Platform.
Mm-hmm.
Even though this interaction was via technology because it was a text message, a brief text message conversation, it just meant the world to me because she really just dropped this gem, this sentiment into my world.
Yeah.
And it just made me think about how, for me, it just really is about quality and not quantity. I don't really feel that I need validation from others at this point in my life, and that's really, really new for me. But so when somebody reaches out and shows appreciation in a sincere way, I'm so touched by that because the respect is so mutual. So I think that's what it is that whereas sometimes technological relationships are either very surface level or they're very unidirectional.
Mm-hmm.
It's me getting information from you, but without the back and forth or vice mm-hmm. versa. With my real life, even though this was a technology interaction, it was really sincere and heartfelt, and the mutual respect and the richness of it made me feel the connection. So I guess I'm echoing in a way what you're saying, which is that sometimes technology is necessary. With this particular person, I think we're both busy, and I do have a respect for when, you know, the limitations of modern life make us all have to sometimes give communication short shrift, meaning mm-hmm. that we have to communicate via text instead of a phone call, because I'm really more of a phone call person. But I really appreciate even small moments communicating with people in an authentic way, however I can get it, I guess. And so for the most part, I do try to interact in person, and I do try to limit my use of technology. But at the same time, I also try to find meaning minimally within right. the technological sphere.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm learning from you on this one because I feel that since we've been doing this work, I have just been I've just been watching, I guess, if I could say that, your community. I've been watching what you're building. I've been seeing in my mind's eye how you interact with people because of the stories that you tell on the show. And it's making me want that for myself. I have been an entrepreneur for so long that I got used to being a bit of a recluse. But under the guise of working, I'm always working. I'm always, yes. and if I have free time, why don't I use it to create something? Why don't I use it to close another deal? Why don't I use it to meet that quota? Right. And, that has to change because what happened was a lot of my authentic connections kind of started to fizzle out. Those friendships, people that I would meet. Remember, maybe 2 years before I left California, I was doing lunches on Wednesday, lunches, cocktails, dinners on Wednesdays with my friends. And it was because I had been working for myself since 2014. And 10 years later, I was so far away from my friends and the people that I loved, meaning if someone was getting engaged, I probably did not know the fiance, had not met him personally. Or if someone was having a baby, I had not been intentional about getting there to meet the baby.
Right.
You know, so these things, so life was starting to pass me by, and it was a lot of it was under the guise of I'm working. And then people, and then you know how I am about my time, you know how stingy I am with my time. So then busyness, I can't be interrupted. Yes.
Busyness is a form of armoring.
Yes. And so, and what I was very careful about was I was productive. I wasn't busy for the sake of being busy because I know what that looks like too, right? But so I was very productive, or I was really creating or meeting tasks, but I was losing connection. And there is no life without connection. Like when I climb this mountain that I'm trying to climb in business or in creativity, who am I going to celebrate with when I get to the top if all of my connections have fallen to the wayside in the process? And so I started doing those Wednesday lunches, and that helped to deepen a lot of my connections. But then I moved. I up and moved to another state. So now here I am again in this place where I'm having to be intentional about having real life in-person connections. And so yesterday was my birthday. Yay me. Yay. Yesterday was my birthday. And so this weekend we did a lot of celebrations and, you know, just kind of running around town and things. So I went to a comedy show on Saturday night and I met a couple. It was a white and Asian mixed couple, been together. Their anniversary was actually on my birthday, the 25th. They were out celebrating and they fell in love with me and we were talking and just chit-chatting, and they reminded me of how fun I am when I'm out, when I'm not attached to my phone, and when I'm not worrying about the to-do list, and when I'm not worrying about my project management software. I'm actually quite fun and funny, right?
Oh,
and
so, hilarious. Spirited.
Thank you. And so it was a good time, and it was just a great reminder. So it's one of those things that for me is very aspirational at this point. But I'm doing things like I am sending voice notes, like we talked about in the past. When someone comes to mind, I'll send a message or a text or a voice note to say, you know, hey, I'm thinking about you, or you came to mind, and just hit me when you get a chance. No pressure, you know, stuff like that. It's one of those things that I have to be intentional about, because authentic connection can easily go away in this age where people are buying like, what do you call it? Virtual reality. Everything is about a simulation of reality. So people are buying virtual reality headsets, and it's all to you know, kind of sever the real connections and get people used to being in this state of a false or a simulated reality. And I never want to get to that place where I'm comfortable sitting in a room all day by myself. And I felt like I was getting too comfortable with it. I can actually say I am too comfortable with being alone and completing my tasks. Like when I'm asked to go somewhere, I'm thinking, I'm that person that's like, who all gonna be there? You know, it depends if I want to show up or how many people are going to be there. Because if it's two people, I'm probably
you're
not going to want to
attend. You're a total
very
control
much,
freak.
Very much. Very much. And so so there's all of this stuff going on, and all of that determines if I'm going to want to show up. But the thing is, yeah. I'm never usually mad that I showed up. I'm always like, after the fact, I'm always like, oh my gosh, thank you for bringing me outside. Thank you for getting me out of the house. Thank you for getting me out from in front of that computer. Yeah. Thank you for getting me out from, you know, out of that project management software. Thank you. So I just have to be intentional about it. And you're like my little light with that. Like, you are the person that's running outside every chance you get. And I'm just learning. I'm it's almost like, okay, I hate when I see this, although I do understand the need for it. I'm the little kid that's on the leash where the parents are like, don't go too far. You know what I mean? So I'm like tethered to you a little bit in your, you know, I'm going outside, and I'm just really trying to do that in my own way. But I also have so much that I need to do inside. And I feel like I'm just trying to find that place where
balance.
I'm still able to get my stuff done, but I can also go and meet a friend for drinks and not have any regrets. And I just have to build that buffer in my schedule, like I had it for the last couple of years in California, now that I'm in the Midwest. And so I'm just glad we're having this conversation, because it's reminding me to keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah, you're such an enigma to me, because when I first met you, the thing that drew me the most to you was your uninhibitedness.
Yeah.
Your sheer joy of living, your outgoing personality. I can very easily imagine myself being the only white woman at that comedy show with her Asian man, and seeing you and of all the people there falling in love with you.
Yeah.
And because you're very vivacious and you're so off the cuff and you're really spontaneous and funny and witty, and I would 100% be drawn to you from across the room, no doubt. So it's almost pains me
to
hear you telling me that in this day and age, because we've known each other a long time, and I think you've had different eras of different social modes, but it almost pains me that you're taking your gift and just squirreling it away indoors. It makes me mad a little, because you're just so out there and so fun, and I'm not that fun. I am friends with everybody, and I'm really curious and interested in them, but I'm not that vivacious personality that you are. So it's hurting my heart a little that you're not sharing your gift. I'm not going to lie to you.
And I think we met at the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey. And so, remember, I was still the party girl, because I was still coming from having a job, and I was just fresh off of that, like where I was traveling with my friends all the time, because I didn't have all these extra things. I didn't have a client base to maintain. I had never had employees at that point. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I didn't have so many responsibilities that I couldn't enjoy life. So what happened was, once I got to a level of success, it took away, like, I couldn't enjoy life. So because I had it's like everybody's livelihood that worked for me was on me. Now that that's kind of flip-flopped where I'm starting again, you know, to a degree. Mm. Mike Michalowicz has a book called Clockwork that I love. I've read it twice and I buy it and give it away to new entrepreneurs because there's a way to have a business where you work on the business and not work in the business. And that's the way I want to do it this time around. Like, it's not what needs to be done. It's who's going to do it. And it's not me where I was the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker in the last iteration of business. For me, I'm not doing that this time around. I'm building something that's on a solid foundation where it's like, okay, at this point is where I'm hiring an employee and this is what this is going to be their responsibilities. And then once we get to this point, I'm hiring someone else to take over these several things. It's not, but I did not have that language before because I didn't have the experience. So I understand what happened. The thing is creating the balance so that I can still be that fun girl like Corey and Corey sent me a beautiful bouquet for my birthday this year, like he does all the time. But when I got married, it got weird. So he stopped. But now, you know, he's back and we're back and it was great. Right. So he sent me this beautiful bouquet and we started planning. I have a cruise coming up with my daughters next year early. And he was like, we need to do something. And I'm like, we need to do something. Corey's just one of my great friends that we've been friends for. I met him just before I met you. And he's come to California several times to see me. And like, we have a ball and we're like, we need to do something like out of the country. He was like, you want to book an international cruise? And I'm like, yep, I think we should, you know? And so we're going to figure out where we want to go and make it happen. But it's like, I have to create this balance. I'm just walking this new line and it's going to happen. It's just being cognizant of it, that I don't get sucked back into that I'm everything at all times for everyone. I just don't want to ever live like that again because that wasn't living. It was mere existing and I could not enjoy success really.
Yeah, that's heavy.
Yeah. So let's get into the life focus. Did you tell me about yours, though? You told me your authentic connection. Yes, you did. So let's get into our life focus.
I want to do a little roundup of it, though, which is that because I took a risk and tried to use technology in the sense that I did do a Facebook post. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to also mention that in addition to the person who reached out to me to tell me that she listened to the podcast, there was also my uncle who is a brilliant mind and works at a think tank, or actually, I guess mm-hmm. he doesn't work at that think tank anymore. But my aunt, the one that I'm best friends with, she told me that he went for a walk and because he kind of lurks on Facebook a little bit, and he went for a walk and listened to the podcast and then came home and told her it was really well done.
He did?
Yes. So when you have, it's so funny because I posted it to so many people and then only two people came through, but I'm thrilled with it.
I love it.
Thrilled.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm powerful because I'm inverting the meaning of social media because nobody would call two people a win.
Out of almost 500. But it is a win. It's the lens that you look at it with, like that lens,
yeah,
because it's the quality over quantity.
That's what it is. The quality of our listeners is so ridiculously high. I'm just absolutely astounded by the quality of our listenership, not the quantity, but the
They're
quality. So what's up, everyone?
Thank you for being here, and we love you. We would
and
not do
we appreciate
this
you, and thank you, and I'm obsessed with each and every one of you individually.
Okay, so now that we've broken the third wall. So let's go into the life focus portion, which is using technology to enhance rather than replace real relationships. How do you do that? How do you use technology to enhance rather than replace real relationships?
I am not very technologically savvy. So the major technological development that I rely upon the most is this really newfangled one called the telephone. I use that one a lot. So because life moves very swiftly in spite of my desire for it not to do so. I just drive my car and talk on the phone a lot. If I'm in my car, I'm talking on the phone. I love to do that because it keeps the time of the phone call fairly truncated. I can grab a phone call on my way from A to B. It's getting harder and harder for me to have the really long phone calls recently just because of the time constraints of work and kids and podcast and relationships. Mm-hmm. But I have actually been doing the voice memo thing that you do too. I've introduced that. Actually, my coworker, the one I love, she introduced me to it. So she just message bombs me with these audio files. And because I'm such an audiophile, did you see what I did there?
I love the double entendre there.
I love it. I love it. And then I'll text her back. But before I send it, I'll just say, don't respond to me. Just don't get back to me. Because you know what I don't like about the texting is the IOU. So I'll just say, please do not text me back. And she loves it because we're both a little bit antisocial. So we don't necessarily want to get into a long, long conversation. It's just that if we have something urgently to say to each other, we find this a very, very efficient way to communicate. And then I started doing that this week, actually, or no, last week with Luke. So Luke is a notorious technology phobe kind of in a way. It's really hard to get in touch with him. Yeah, I know. I make an exception for him because of our long, long relationship, but he's impossible to get in touch with. His phone is literally, you just call it and it goes straight to voicemail 100% of the time.
Wow.
What is that? I know. I called him this weekend when we were in Melbourne because I wanted to find that canal that we ended up going to. And I called his phone and he was unavailable, completely unavailable to me at 10:30 on a Sunday. And part of me respects that. But then you know how there's that clash always where it's like, I need this information now because I'm also living in this society. So I expect instant gratification. So I called his girlfriend and she picked up right away. And I was like, this is amazing.
And you got the information you needed.
Yes, and we got the information we need. So she is his fiance, first of all. I don't want to have a misnomer here. They are engaged. And I'm obsessed with her. She is the absolutely most salt of the earth person. And she is just incredibly available and open-hearted and warm. And I'm not really sure how we should one day ask her, how does she navigate this technological territory? Because she's really, really available. And I really respect that. But because I can't be that way, I've actually taken a page out of your book where I'm just really proactive about the way I communicate with her. So I'll just think, oh, I want to speak with her today. And then I'll just call her on the phone. And it feels almost old-fashioned to call someone on the phone, doesn't it? Because it's very forward.
Without a warning. Like, not, I'm going to call you at 2 just to pick up the phone and call. And it's like, ew, who's calling me? The audacity.
And every time, and every time she picks up, which just makes me love her even more. So it's cool because I have, in certain areas of my life, just become more proactive. And I know it's not, you know, a hot take to use the telephone, but I kind of feel like it is because people tend to text. So I've just decided I like this person. I want to talk to her and I'm just going to call her out of the blue. Mm-hmm. And every single time I've been rewarded with her picking up and us having an interaction. And it's so cool because it makes me feel really like I have agency over, I can cultivate relationships. I can be forward with people. I can make choices. And these are relationships that I feel have a real grounding in authenticity. I don't feel like just because it's on the phone, just because we can't get together all the time means that it's any less rich or any less meaningful. Mm-hmm. So I know that that's not all that original, but also one other example, because I just don't go very far into technology. I hope I do one day find a way to have AI serve my life. But speaking of that, I am so impressed with your use of AI because I think that we use AI for the best of both worlds for this podcast because we use AI to generate our topics. Mm-hmm. And so what that does is I feel that that is the perfect balance because we come into this podcast fresh and we just say, hey, world, give us a topic. And I don't think it's such a profound, and by world, I just mean system of information that AI relies upon, whatever AI has culled together as its baseline of information, is that we can have something organized for us. It's almost just, it's almost like the old school act of picking something out of a hat. So yeah. we're using AI for the structure to generate yeah. something, but then we are coming in completely fresh onto a topic and then having yes. a conversation. I always tell people that for me, conversations are like jazz. This is the only place that I feel totally spontaneous and totally uninhibited.
Mm-hmm.
And I had left actually Luke a audio message, and I always preface them by saying, don't respond to me, as if he would anyway. But I say, don't respond to me. But then I'll go on for 4 minutes about something I've been thinking about that corresponded in some way to him. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to him about how something I've always admired about him is that he has this real ability to improvise music. And it's incredible. This is actually one of the qualities I most respect about fellow musicians, is when they can make up a song on the spot and the lyrics are so on point and the melody is good. That's so incredible. It takes me a long time to write a song, and I just don't work that way. And then even with my band, whenever my band, they're a jam band to my horror. So when they would say, now keyboard solo, and they'd say, now hit it, and they'd all look at me and I'm playing keyboard, I would just freeze. I was mortified. I would try to plunk something out that didn't sound horrible, but wasn't successful at it. And it's just not me. So I'm noticing these ways that certain people seem to really thrive within the realm of the spontaneous. And then I just lock up. I'm so inhibited in that way. So it's been so cool to have a structure that I don't have to work on, because I don't need another homework assignment, you know, but to yeah. have a structure given to me. And then to, I think my greatest strength is to improvise within a framework, not musically speaking, but in this context, it feels like freedom to be unencumbered by the act of doing any preparation or adding one more single thing to my plate, but then to be able to have something that has been picked out of a hat that's some subject matter from the world. So it doesn't, that doesn't feel artificial to me, even though it's artificially generated.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just riff on that thing, and then I feel like a jazz musician. So I'm just putting that out there. I think that that's a place that we have found a perfect balance between technology and real world.
I was actually going to use this. I was actually going to use it, but I was going to call it a collaborative wisdom journal, because I'm growing. This is one of my examples of how I'm using technology to enhance rather than replace real relationships, because it allows me to look at how our relationship has grown just in the time that we already were cool. Like, we were good before this, but I feel like, I don't know if you feel the same way, but I feel like I've learned so much more about you.
What if I was like,
you.
No, I don't.
It's okay. I would get it.
Not at all.
But I feel so much closer to you. I feel like I know so much more about you. Like to me, I feel like even though we were having these conversations over the years, I hadn't gotten close enough to you to learn idiosyncrasies and things like that about you that you really know about the people that you're closest to. And I've learned so much about you in this process. And this is technology. Like, a podcast is tech. And so
that's true.
I look at it like our wisdom journal, because I'm growing in this process. I'm learning about you, but I'm growing in this process. And I pray that our listeners are growing as a result. Like, my goal has been, you've heard me say on this show that I became what I needed. And what that meant for me was, when I saw that there was a void, I tried to fill it by learning, by growing in that area, so that when someone else showed up in my life, so that A, I could fulfill my own need, right? But then when someone else showed up in my life that had those same needs, I could say, here you go. I have a cup that I can pour from, because I've learned and I've grown in that area. And to me, that's what this is for me. It's me being able to say, you know what? I've been jacked up over there, but I can help you right here, because these are the things that I've learned. And while I may not have it down to a science, or I may not be perfect at it, I might only be 2 steps ahead of you, but let me help you get 2 steps ahead of me now. you know? And let's just continue to leapfrog over each other in growth and learning and kindness and generosity and love and passion and destiny and purpose. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's what it's all about in the first place. So this podcast is a major tool for me because this is the freest I've ever been. I told you there was just so many years that I felt like I didn't have a voice. And then as I was learning to use the voice, we talked about the pendulum swings with that, right? And so here I'm learning, I'm even learning to speak. I'm learning to be less Charles Barkley-ish in the way that I you know, compose a thought, and learning how to complete my sentences, complete the thought before I move on to things. So when I say there's growth and there's learning, it's in so many facets and so many areas. I'm just proud of this. And this right here, it's a legacy too, because when you think about this stuff that we're creating, these recordings are going to live past our lifespan. It'll be here forever. And I think there's something beautiful about that, because I think I'm very careful about the stories that I share. Bettina has had, when I say I have lived, remember we talked last week and we were talking about my friend Derek from work that I worked with. I hated him, but we went to lunch every day. Yeah. I texted him that same day, and we were both, by the end of the text message, we were saying, I said, I have lived a fascinating life. And he said, yeah, me too. I was saying that to my son and my bro the other day, like, if God came and took me right now, I'm like, sayonara, I'm out of here, because I have lived. Like, I'm not missing anything. And when I look over the expanse of the 53 years that I've been on this planet, I have lived a very fascinating life. But I have to be careful about the stories that I share, because they weren't all PG. You know what I mean?
I'm going to make you less PG as we go through the podcast.
I don't think so. I don't think so. We ain't turning nobody out on the What's the Temp podcast, baby. We ain't doing that. Not on my watch. But anyway, so yeah, this is one of my examples. This is my main example, how I'm using, because I get to share. I get to share about the people that I love. I get to share with the people that I love. And I get to share with new people, like the beautiful couple that I met this weekend.
And I can't wait to hear your evolution with your new friends.
Yes, because they wouldn't let us pay for anything that night. Yeah. And so I was like, all right. So I texted them the next day and I was like, it was so great meeting you guys. We had a great time. Let's be intentional about getting together, and the next time it's on us, you know, because you guys were they were just a joy to be around, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, that's how I'm using it. So I want to go into our recipes.
Wait, before we go into our recipes, I just wanted to say one more thing that occurred to me while you were speaking, which is getting to know yourself through this podcast. And I was doing my morning writing this morning because I've been feeling a little bit off the past couple of days. And so when I'm feeling off, I tend to start doing more journaling so I can check in with myself. And I find that to be a real radical act of self-love, to say, hey, what's going on here? To check in with myself. And I was writing about how doing the podcast is really profound, because you're holding up a mirror to yourself, and it's very humbling, because even just things about the way I speak, I've been really having trouble letting go of using the word like, but I had no awareness of that prior. And I say a lot, but then that's not interesting. I think most people do say those things, and I think that they're cut out to the extent you can do it through editing. Mm-hmm. But another thing I notice is that I will stop mid-thought and then just go down a completely different line of thought mid-sentence.
Yeah. Or how about me repeating myself?
We both repeat ourselves. Yes, it's hard to actually keep that under control now that there's a spread of 15 or 20 podcasts out there. It's hard to know when you're coming back to yourself. But little ways that I can be dishonest, there was one example that I said, but it's not dishonest. I think it's just using poetic license. I had said that Uncle Bob introduced me to that Diana Ross song when I was 13, but actually, he introduced me to that song. I think I was 18, but he had introduced me to music during that awkward adolescence period. Mm-hmm. So I needed to convey both that he had introduced me to a lot of music when I was an awkward adolescent, but mm-hmm. also that that song was a part of it, because that song then opened it up so that we could sing upside down.
Yeah.
Boy, you turned me. So it's just that song is the one that sticks out the most mm-hmm. of any of the hundreds of songs he's introduced me to, because it really struck a chord with me. So I had to conflate two facts together in order to make my point. So I don't mm-hmm. judge myself for that, but it's illuminating, because I've been noticing the ways that I exaggerate and the ways that I repeat myself. And sometimes I feel bad for Herschel, because I'm like, oh, dear God, I talk a lot.
I didn't know it was that bad.
No wonder he's tuning me out. You know, it's funny. It's
until you have to listen to yourself hours and hours, hundreds of hours of yourself speaking, you don't know how bad it is to be you or to listen to you.
It's not bad.
No, the killer for me was thinking before we did this work that I was a great communicator. What?
You don't think you are?
Heck no.
Oh, really?
Oh my gosh, there's so much work that needs to be done.
Work, yes, but I still think you have a strong ability to communicate.
Yeah, there's so much work that needs to be done, though. And so I think I feel so sorry for past partners, because I thought I was so clear and concise and straightforward.
Not concise. I won't let you go with that one.
Not clear. I can't even finish a thought, girl.
Yeah.
Girl, please.
Yeah.
So it's hilarious.
But I think the technology, because I wasn't even thinking of this podcast as technology, but you're so right. And it has enhanced my relationship with myself, because it's enabled me to see both good and bad in myself.
Yeah.
It feels still like we're capturing our own spirits. And the fact that I can even tolerate my own spirit is so such progress for me, because I legitimately hadn't thought about that. I thought I was going to have an allergic reaction to myself, hearing myself speak, spending this much time with myself. But actually, it's just really reflecting how much progress, because just 10 years ago, I just absolutely loathed myself. So it's really life-affirming for me to do this podcast. And thank you for bringing that up, because that didn't even occur to me to use as an example.
No, and then I'm so glad that you just brought this part up, because I think about how I've always hated to hear my recorded voice.
Yeah.
100%. I have a very heavy, deep voice, and as do the women in my family. And so to hear myself recorded and to continuously speak, the fact that we're able to do this and I'm not just vomiting in my mouth every time I hear myself, you know, recorded.
It's a major process.
And there's a lot of reality coming to learning to accept yourself.
Yeah.
In this work, because it's the truth. It's the truth of what is. But there was something that you said. I was like, oh my gosh, my voice is so deep. And you were like, I like the husky part of your voice. And I'm like, you're so kind.
It's my favorite thing.
One of the things that one thing I like the most about myself on this podcast, Jen, you make me laugh out loud. I never thought I would laugh so much on a podcast. You make me laugh out loud so much on this podcast.
Thank you.
And I did not know that I would appreciate that, you know? So I love that. And then one last thing that I wanted to give, because this just happened, as far as how using technology to enhance rather than replace relationships. So my mom is redoing her backyard. And so I started going on Pinterest and building boards of ideas
for
her yard.
That is one of the best things about technology.
Right?
There's lots of good things about technology.
To show her examples of what she could do around her pool and how she if she broke down the juke joint, she could actually have a he shed and a she shed, and all these different ideas that are coming up where she could have a pergola here and an outdoor kitchen here.
This is the first time hearing about this. What is that? I want a she shed. Is this what I think it is?
Yes,
it is. What is it? Is it outdoor storage for women?
It's outdoor storage. So my brother, my sister-in-law, my brother and my sister-in-law in their backyard, she has a she shed because she does like women. She does like therapy for women's bodies, like running like lymphatic therapy and stuff like that for women's bodies. And so she doesn't want people traipsing in and out of her home. So she built a she shed in the back where her clients go. They come up the side. They never go inside her house. There's a bathroom. There's a bathroom. There's the table, all the things.
It's
there's
like a whole
television in there. But then there's a second room where if she wanted to put storage and all that. And so my mom is building herself one. And then she's also, since she's replacing my stepdad's juke joint, she's going to build him a he shed.
What's
so
a
he
juke doesn't have joint? To.
So it's like he has like hundreds of albums, like vinyls.
Oh,
he's a music head. That's okay. My buddy. That is my music buddy. And he has like hundreds of vinyls and record players and speakers and all these things. And so she's going to put all that stuff. She's going to just rebuild it, make it modern, and have all that stuff lined up and just organized for him instead of this place where it's kind of like haphazardly put together. But yeah, so these are things, and this has been really good. I just loved connecting with you right here on that.
One of my uncles, who's a bit of a curmudgeon, he was, like I said in the last episode, lamenting the sad state of the nation. And he was saying he was just being, and I don't want to throw shade because I've been this exact same way. And I think this is the way I also initially reacted to the fact that everyone's on their phone. I think I also have a penchant for looking around a waiting room and being like, really? Everyone's on their phone? You know, just to be that
at the
old
airport.
Head. Yeah, to be that old head where it's like, everyone's missing it. We're missing it on life. But the thing is, you don't know what people are doing on their phones. I think if you make technology your own, for example, someone could be doing a crossword puzzle on their phone.
Yeah.
How old-fashioned Lee delightful is that? You don't know. So when sometimes I think about it, because when I'm walking around the lake in the morning, people are probably looking at me and painting a picture of, oh, here comes this girl, you know, doing whatever on her phone, because I'm constantly taking my phone out of my pocket to type something into my phone. But guess what I'm doing? I'm writing down our podcast edits. So you don't know what I'm doing, because actually what I'm doing is I'm in the act of creativity right now.
Yeah.
So I do see what it looks like from the outside, but actually I'm doing something that's deeply meaningful to me, and I'm being incredibly productive, and I'm walking 3 miles. So that's what's up.
Well, I love that we both walk 3 miles.
Crushing it. So just my best life. So don't judge me, and I will not judge you. And then my final thought.
You act like you're talking to the people.
I know. Ahead. I want to... I always wanted to become more pastor-like, but to have that spirit. But there is this thing that they say in the recovery community where if I am judging you, I am not sober. If you are judging me, you are not sober.
And the pastor way of saying that would have been, don't look at me, look at your Bible. Oh. That's the pastor version of what you just said. Don't look at me, look at your Bible. Okay, so let's get to the recipe so we can go.
Yes.
Analog afternoon, a meal that requires hands-on attention.
I'm just laughing because I don't really have one today because, like I said, these are AI-generated things, and sometimes I just don't have one because I didn't do any preparation. But wait, I do have one, though, because I think it actually fits in really well with this episode, and it's going to be so fast. Here's what it is. My life partner / neighbor, Sarah, came home from Italy this week, and I was so thrilled because she's been gone for a month, and I've been dying without her. And here's what she brought me. She knows me so well. She brought me a big bottle of olive oil from her parents' olive orchard.
Yes, that's the one.
Yes. And a big chunk of cheese, Parmesan cheese. And when she hands it to me,
from
she's like,
Italy?
"This is And she's like, "This is the dank." And you know what word she used after that. So she gave it to me, and that's what we ate for dinner that night. Is we just had this crusty, I had this already in the freezer, this crusty Italian bread, and mm-hmm. we just dipped it into olive oil.
Oh.
And then every now from Italy, like just enjoying those flavors. So instead of using olive oil just in passing, olive oil was the meal, and I was using the bread to deliver it. And Herschel was I could eat this entire thing as a meal, and that's exactly what we did. And then every so often, we would just take a chunk off of the massive Parmesan chunk that she gave, and we would just enjoy that flavor.
Oh, my
gosh. So this
gosh,
is my hands-on yes. meal. There are no distractions. It's as old-fashioned as it gets. This is like some caveman stuff. I don't know if caveman or cheese.
I love it, though.
But it's just a hands-on, but it's an attention-on meal. There's nothing yeah. going on here. We got bread. We got olive oil. We got cheese. Best meal of my life. Thank you.
I am not mad at that at all. Not mad
That's
at that
it is.
At all. And
That's
only wish I was there because
yeah,
to
it
have
was so good.
Taste
Quality
fresh
of
from Italy.
Ridiculous. Oh. Yes. Straight from Italy. Okay. Like it had come from Italy yesterday.
Oh, I can't even imagine. Okay, so mine is going to be, yesterday I made something that I had never made before, but I eat them all the time because I buy it from Costco. Yesterday I made stuffed bell peppers and they were delish.
I've never done this well, so I'm all ears.
Okay, so I did, the meat I used was ground beef, which I had gone to the butcher shop, so I'm very excited about the quality of the meat that I've gotten in the last couple of weeks. So I used ground beef from the butcher shop. I cut up some onion, had some garlic. I used my garlic paste in there. I seasoned it, of course, with the go-to for seasoning salt, Cajun seasoning, garlic powder, and I put some black pepper. I sauteed that all together, and then I had already made the rice earlier, and so I drained the ground beef, added the rice. I added some petite diced tomatoes in there to give it the red color. I added some Italian seasoning, and then I added some Cajun seasoning because I like a little kick on my stuffed bell peppers. While I was doing that, I was boiling water to be able to, I don't know if this is called blanching, but to be able to blanch my hollowed out bell peppers.
Interesting. To soften them up more.
Because the whole filling is done already.
Yeah.
So they don't have to be in the oven so long. So then in my stuffing, I just mixed in some cheese, some shredded cheese, Tillamook shredded, sharp cheddar cheese is what I had on hand. Put the cheese in there, mixed it in with the filling, stuck it, filled them up to the brim, stuck them in the oven for about 10 good minutes. And I cut them up and finished them off with some hot sauce and honey.
Hot sauce. Interesting.
I like hot sauce. I don't know why. Even on the Costco ones, I would always put Cajun seasoning and hot sauce because they just weren't seasoned enough.
That sounds good.
So Cajun seasoning and hot sauce. And so for my own, I didn't have to put any Cajun seasoning because they were seasoned to perfection, but I still needed hot sauce. So they were really, really good. I was able to have one, and then I had some rice left over, the rice with the meat and the tomato mixture. And it kind of was giving a little bit of dirty rice without all of the extra seasonings. But yeah, that was really, really good. And that's going to be my hands-on meal for today. So thank you for joining us another episode of What's the Temp Podcast. We appreciate you so much. And without you, there is no us. So
true.
On me, be great on purpose, okay?
For Have me. A great 24. Peace.
Be great on purpose. Bye.
Bye.